Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Hyatt Froboes, the head nutritionist with Gestal. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Froboes.
Thank you for having me.
As part of a group sow housing seminar planned for Tuesday, September 12th in Winnipeg and Wednesday, September 13th in Strathmore, you'll be discussing the topic, capturing potential through nutrition. First of all, how important are nutritional considerations in swine production generally, and why? And when it comes to sows specifically, what is the importance of nutrition?
Yes, great question, and a very broad one in some respects. Swine nutrition is an important component of any production enterprise on the swine side, mainly because it makes up around 65 to 70% of the final cost of production for a finished pig. And so as a result, the importance of utilizing the right amount of nutrients and efficiencies of production with regard to the nutrients that are provided to not only sows and finishing pigs become a big economic driver of the importance of profitability and success within the industry. When it comes to sows in particular, they have sometimes taken a back seat to nursery and finishing research. On one hand, because they are a smaller percentage of the portion, there's a lot less sows in production than there is nursery and finishing pigs, and they do take up a smaller portion of the total impact of feed that's provided to pigs within the industry. But it's also been a challenging research area because research on sows is a lot more complex and there's a lot more variables that are impacted with changes in nutrition with regard to sows. That doesn't diminish the importance of sow nutrition, though. And now that we have advanced a lot of the research and answered a lot of some of the fundamental questions in nursery and finishing pig production, and to some extent in sows, it allows us, especially with advanced tools in terms of capturing data in sow farms, we now are able to turn our focus to some of these nuances in sow production that maybe haven't been as elucidated as some of the nursery and finishing research, or we now have the capability of providing in a different fashion due to advances in technology or management production systems that were not previously in place. That being said, nutrition does not take a back seat in sow production because it is the precursor to setting those sows up for success, not only prior to entering the herd as a reproductive female, a sow that is over-conditioned or under-conditioned when she's bred is less likely to conceive. A sow that's under-conditioned or over-conditioned at the time of farrowing is less likely to milk to her full potential. She's less likely to breed back within a timely fashion. And ultimately, those type of impacts cause her to exit the herd more quickly, which is a growing concern within the industry right now. For example, over 90% of U.S. swine production currently see sow mortality levels around 10 to 12% or higher annually. That's not sows being culled from the herd intentionally. Those are sows dying on the farm. And it's typical to see anywhere from a 50 to 60% annual replacement rate within herds. And while turning over generation intervals is important within a herd to maximize your genetic potential, it also highlights some concern in terms of keeping these sows in the herd to the time where they'd be able to pay themselves off so effectively. We have way too many girls that are leaving the herd after their first parity or second parity because nutritional problems can lead to reproductive problems, which are usually the main precursor to her exiting the herd.
How will the nutritional requirements of the sow housed in group housing systems differ from the requirements of sows housed in stalls? And what are the key factors that will influence that difference?
Yes, an excellent question. And the nutritional requirements of sows housed in groups are not markedly different from sows housed in stalls throughout gestation. But there are some key differences that we need to keep in mind as we formulate diets for sows housing groups. And the ones that immediately come to mind would be the fact that a sow in a pen environment is going to move around a lot more than a sow in a stall where she's immobilized generally for a period of about 115 days. So there's a greater amount of energy that's expended in those sows as they move around the pen for eating and drinking and social activities, that this is a a usage of energy that we need to account for in our provision of calories to the sow. That being said, there's some benefits in terms of exercise and muscle tone that some people will attribute to the group effect versus stalls. But another factor with regard to the requirements of sows housed in pens, in addition to their additional energy they expend, would be related to her ability to maintain her feet and leg health. You know, a sow that's not moving around a whole lot is probably not going to have a whole lot of problem finding feed in front of her in a stall, and she's not requiring herself to walk around to locate water and feed as a sow in a pen would be. So feet and leg health becomes extremely important in order to keep those sows in the pen and keep them in the herd and functional. So we place an additional amount of emphasis on mineral nutrition, as well as some vitamins that are important to feet and leg health, hoof health, as well as to minimizing the stress on the animals around the stress points that exist within a pen. And usually that is around the time of mixing in a static pen, as well as the provision of water and feed, which can be the stress points. And so if there's competition around feeding, depending on the feed system that's provided, that can be something that we want to reduce. And so something that a lot of producers are taking as an opportunity is sows in groups and sows in general are more able to digest fiber than any other production class of pigs. The mature sow has a more functional hindgut or large intestine, which can break down fibrous feedstuffs and turn those into volatile fatty acids that can be used as a source of energy, more similar to what a ruminant animal can do than a nursery pig or a finishing pig would be able to utilize. So that ability of the sow to utilize a fiber byproduct such as soybean hulls, wheat middlings, distiller's grains, those are products that we typically wouldn't utilize in lactating sows or in nursery or finishing production unless necessary. Gestating sows can become a good outlet for these high fiber byproducts. And in so doing, we can the same calorie content of diet, but feed a higher volume of feed because fibrous feeds are going to have a lower caloric content. That additional fiber can increase the satiety of these sows because gestating sows would, if given the opportunity, like to eat more feed than we typically provide, as we're providing just enough for maintenance and the development of their pregnancy. That hunger effect can cause some aggression, especially around the feeding areas. And so providing a bulkier diet that's higher in fiber can increase that satiety and thereby reduce aggression if done correctly. So that's one of the considerations that many producers are attempting is to utilize higher fiber byproducts in pens to reduce aggression and in so doing, hopefully reduce lesions, feet and leg damage, and sows that end up having to be removed from the pen due to lameness or injuries.
How will the nutritional requirements of the sow change as she moves through gestation, and why, and what do producers need to be paying particular attention to, and why?
Yeah, so this is regardless of pens or stalls, but this is an important area of research right now in the industry, as traditionally sows in gestation have been fed a single diet from breeding up until the time of farrowing, although the amount of that feed could be manipulated based on her body condition. There's a growing body of research that is evaluating whether changing those nutrient provisions at different stages of gestation could create increases in performance or reductions in costs due to efficiencies. And I would say right now there's discussion amongst the nutritional community over whether this research has an economic payback that makes sense. But from a physiological standpoint, it makes sense that a sow that has just been bred probably has a lower nutrient requirement than a sow in late gestation when she has a lot of nutrients, particularly amino acids, going to the development of the fetal tissues and preparing her mammary tissue for the upcoming lactation. And so there's definitely a physiological logic to altering the provision of nutrients. But so far, a lot of the research has indicated that the sow is reasonably able to compensate for changes in her nutrient requirements, that there's a limited amount of data that shows a significant, statistically significant payback effect to phase feeding sows in gestation. I'm generalizing, but I would say that the swine nutrition community would currently say that more research is needed in this area. But as of right now, I'm not confident enough to recommend phase feeding to producers as an economically viable way to increase performance or reduce feed cost in your sow herd. That being said, we will continue to research that. And I would say the bigger opportunity within herds, and one that I recommend to producers who are implementing group housing, is the opportunity to segregate sows within the barn by parity. Because we do know that gilts and young sows, such as P1s, are still developing themselves. They haven't reached senescence or maturity yet, physiological maturity, that some of the nutrients that they are receiving are going into their own physiological development and not just the fetus of the litter. So that differs from mature sows, generally P3 or higher sows, that they are putting primarily their nutrients into the development of the fetus above their maintenance requirements. And so we have the opportunity to save some feed cost, in particular amino acid levels, in older sows. But in stalls and in some pen situations, we have to feed to the lowest common denominator, which required us to only feed one diet to all sows and not segregate by parity and thereby by nutrient requirements. So an opportunity for producers as they shift to group housing, and something they should consider for those still in stalls, is the ability to segregate your diet provision to young sows versus old sows. And models that I've run with PIC nutritionists using PIC sows, obviously depending on your cost requirements of your feed, point to a savings on a per inventoried female basis of about $2 to $3 per sow within the farm per year, which is something that can easily pay for an extra bin over a short period of time. So that's something that we're definitely considering within the group housing community, and it's something that we can consider implementing more effectively within all sow herds, regardless of stalls or group housing.
How will the nutritional requirements of the sow change following farrowing? How do those nutritional needs compare with the requirements during lactation? And what are the main considerations there?
Yes, the lactating sow is probably the most important period of her, arguably the most important period of her, cycle, as we're depending on her intake in lactation and the nutrients she's receiving in lactation to not only get the piglet started off to a successful weaning period, but also set her up for the following cycle to be able to breed back quickly and ovulate a high number of eggs, follicles. And so there are some considerations that are important that immediately prior to farrowing, she's going through a rapid amount of mammary tissue development, and she's shifting from a limited diet. You know, she's usually receiving somewhere in the 2 to 3 kilograms per day amount to a period of time for about 21 days in most herds today that we want to maximize her intake rather than limit her intake. So we need to challenge these sows to increase their intake as quickly as possible. And the provision of the nutrients during that time is also important, as milk production requires is a high protein, high energy, high fat diet for the piglets. In so doing, we need the diet sow is receiving to be higher in energy, higher in fat, higher in amino acids. And so diet formulation has been focused on lactational requirement a long time, and I think we've done a good job on that. But most producers today do only feed one diet throughout the lactation period. Now that technology exists that might be allowing sows to get different diets according to parity or according to stage of lactation, there's some opportunity for additional research to look at whether the requirements of the sow in early lactation differ markedly enough from sows in late lactation, because if we can provide different requirements or different nutrients to those sows based on their requirements, we might be able to increase the weaning weight of the pigs, the breed back potential of the sow, and her ovulation capacity. And so we definitely need to be cognizant of these nutritional requirements. And as we consider things like longer lactation lengths in some herds, that also changes the requirements of the piglets and the sow, that we need to further consider technology opportunities and nutritional opportunities to maximize that sow's potential.
Why are we seeing such a heightened interest in the requirements of sows housed in groups?
Well, I think this is a pretty easy question to answer in so doing that we have a higher percentage of sows that are being housed in groups because of requirements that have been put forth by the Canadian Code of Practice and internationally consumer pressure to provide sows with an environment where they can turn around and have social interaction with other sows. We're in the process creating a new environment for these sows. The environment does affect their nutritional requirements and some of the stressors that are put on these sows that we need to renew the research opportunities that may help sows go through the challenges and stressors that exist in group housing that previously did not exist in stalls.
How can anyone interested get more information?
Yeah, there's a growing body of research in this area, and it's a focal point for a lot of these meetings and scientific discussions that are going on around the swine industry globally. But there's opportunities to get more information by looking into scientific journals, such as the Journal of Animal Science. But there's also opportunities to get more information through our website at www.jygatech.com. Or those interested are more than welcome to contact me directly. And again, my name is Dr. Hyatt Frobos with Gestalt. And I can be reached at hyatt.frobos@jygatech.com.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, Bruce, I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the discussions at these group sow housing seminars in September. I think it's going to be a fun discussion, and we can hopefully pinpoint some additional opportunities to continue to improve performance in sow herds.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Hyatt Frobos, the head nutritionist with Gestalt. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.